Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
It's an honor to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. I was asked a couple weeks ago, perhaps, and I've just been mulling around some different thoughts. I've had a lot of opportunities to speak lately, and so it's crazy when you're speaking, 4 to 5 times in a week and a half or so. You have to be careful not to, intermingle all your messages, in a sense. Yet tonight I know that this message, even though part of this I did preach on Friday night, I know that a lot of this is specifically for here. And the reason I know that is because I got into the little prayer room earlier and I just set myself aside and spent a couple hours in his presence just asking God to download, what it was specifically for tonight. So like I said, there's bits and pieces from here and there, but I pray that it's the Word of God tonight that encourages us, that refreshes us, that challenges us, that pulls us out of that place where we can so get into just by, our flesh or our customs. And I want to pray over tonight just real quick before we get into the Word, and then I want to step right into what I feel He's wants to speak. So if you would, let's go to prayer. Father God, I thank You again, Lord, for Your presence, God. How awesome it is, Lord, to be Your child, to be Your son, God, in Your kingdom, Father. And Lord, we know that the things around us, they rage, and the world is going in a direction, oh God, yet You have given us a firm, steadfast hope in You. You've given us a promise. You've given us Your love. You've given us Your heart, God, to endure, and not just to endure, but to thrive and to grow and to be a shining example of Your light, Jesus. And so I pray that tonight, Father, You would challenge us. You would call us out of this place, Lord, where we can get stuck in at times, Father, and You would call us into this glorious freedom. So, Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, it'd be Your heart, Your words that speaks. And now, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that Your word would rain down on us, that there'd be open, receptive hearts, that'd be ready to have the seed of Your word deposited in, Father, for growth. We want to grow. We want to know You. And so, Lord, again, I thank You, Father. I just commit everything. We commit everything to You tonight. It's all for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my question to start off with is, this is a pretty simple question, okay? But I really want to know, and it's gonna challenge you right out the gate, okay? And it's really not that hard. But who wants to be closer to Jesus here tonight? Amen. It's a great question. Who wants to be closer to Jesus? Because see, there's a lot of things that we can get closer to. There's a lot of things that we can, just by our own affections or our own desires or our own wiring, however we're made, the things that we're told are good, we can get close to. But the reality is there's one glorious one, this God, Jesus, and He wants us to get close to Him. However, if you're anything like me, the closer you get, who does Jesus say He is? He says, I am the way, the what? The truth, right? And the life. However, so that what we find is that the closer we come to Jesus, the closer we come to truth. And the closer we come to truth, the more that our untruth is out on blast, right? The more that our lack of truth, if you will, is exposed. And that, I would dare to say, is probably the number one reason, whether subconscious or conscious, that people tend to gravitate more towards religion or more towards a system that doesn't actually challenge the heart. Because it's something that we can hide behind systems and we can hide behind religion, but we can't necessarily hide in the presence of Jesus. Amen? Why do people hide from Jesus? Why was I, when I was in my mess, you couldn't hardly drag me into a church? Why? Because I knew that if I just got into the presence of Jesus, all this stuff that I was buying into, all this junk that I was holding on to, was going to be exposed for what it really was. And at that point, I was going to be confronted with a choice. I was going to be given a chance to either confess and repent and leave and take on to something new, or I was going to stay in that. And so if I just didn't get into that to begin with, I didn't have to go through all that gamut of emotions. Pretty weak existence though, isn't it? But I think I'm speaking to somebody. I'm not just talking about my old past here. See, there's a saying out there and it says, ignorance is what? Ignorance is bliss. What moron invented that statement? Come on. Ignorance is bliss. Now, there's a couple times where that will apply, okay? Sometimes I don't want to know certain things, but you know, the reality is that it's not true. It's not true because, see, we were created to walk and to live and to operate in the fullness that Christ has for us. That's the only truth. And it's that Christ made available for us through glory. But all these glorious possibilities are not automatically realities. All these possibilities that Christ offers us doesn't always equal the reality that we live in. Okay? And so what I'm here to say tonight is that the way that possibilities become realities is to the degree that we walk in surrender and wholeness, or AKA healed. I was thinking of this earlier in the terms, when you go to the doctor, what you're doing is you're admitting to this man or woman that you don't have what it takes to fix yourself. And so you submit yourself to this man or woman to operate on you and to perform something on you so that you can walk away healed. Amen? There's an element of vulnerability and surrender in that. And Christ is saying the same thing. He's saying, listen, I have all these glorious promises for your life, but they're not going to equal reality in your life unless you are willing to accept the reality that you're broken and you need fixed. But not, you're not just going to get fixed unless you submit and surrender and come to me for it. Amen. It's pretty simple. The only thing that holds us back from encountering this glorious reality is the lies that we buy into and hold on to. That's the only thing. The father of lies, Satan, has been doing a work on us since we were born. And if he can convince you that you're not, you know, fill in the blank, or if he can convince you that, you know, you're not good enough, or you're not, you know, you're not smart enough to be this, or you're not talented enough, or you're not skilled enough, or you're not, you know, whatever, or this one, or that, you know, that he isn't good enough, or that he doesn't love you enough, or that he isn't interested in you enough. If he can convince you of all these lies, it'll keep you from pressing into this healing. And the reality is that this dysfunction that will characterize our life at that point will become our reality, and we'll almost embrace that, and we'll almost go to this place of resorting to be conformed to that, and we don't press in for fullness, we don't press in for healing. The only thing that holds us back is the untruths that we believe, guys. And Jesus is saying today that there's an opportunity to walk in the fullness. It says in John 10:10, we know this verse, a lot of us know it by heart, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. There's three things he does. You know, he steals, he kills, and he destroys. He steals the truth, the seed, the word, the hope that God will plant in each one of us. He kills the hope and the joy of serving Lord and the idea that you can do it in the kingdom, that you have what it takes. And he'll destroy your identity as a son of God or as a daughter of God by virtue of doing that. There's three things. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But thank God that the verse doesn't end there, right? The truth is the verse continues. And he says, but he gives us this awesome reassurance that he has come that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Or to the full, some versions will say. I don't know about you, but I live now 6.5 years after my first day into Teen Challenge. I live a far more glorious reality than I did back then. I have things going for me that I never had back then. You wouldn't have wanted me up here with the microphone, that's for sure. 6.5 years ago, full of deception, full of lies, full of lack of identity. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know this. I didn't have this power source. I didn't have this truth in me. I didn't have this hope. I didn't have this future. I wasn't healed. And just today, I'm here at The Voice with my brother Dave Raymer getting more healing, praise God, because I want it. I'm not done with it. But I know that as God has uncovered the lies that I've bought into and he's replaced those with truth, as that's happened, I've been able to grow and walk and enjoy and enjoy the reality of what that means. A lot of us just have to surrender and submit to the Lord, though, and understand that the truth that He will plant in us is better than the reality, the lie that we're holding on to. Ignorance is not bliss, and ignorance will never equal abundant life. It never will. It never can. It never will. The reality, however, is that many of us, from a mental standpoint or from a heart posture, desire this glorious, abundant life. If I ask any one of you in this room right now, excuse me, whoever you may be, do you want abundant life? I'm pretty sure your answer would be yes, right? Every single one of us would have this desire. However, the road is called narrow. And it also says that few find it. And there's a reason for that, because it's not just given to us. It's not just handed, although it can be. There's this thing that takes place inside of us, and it's only achieved when a man or a woman, a young man or a young woman, or an older woman or an older man, whoever they may be, get to the place where they say, you know what? I'm ready for my identity to be lost in you, Jesus Christ. I'm ready to lay down my life, my identity, my lies, the person I think I am, the things that I think will fulfill me, the things that I feel like I have to do, and I'm ready to exchange those for the truth found in you. That's it. It's only achieved when one accepts that losing his or her identity in Christ is his greatest desire. It's his number one ambition in life. That's when we get to that place. And it's not a passive thing. We don't just stumble into it by chance or by accident. It says in the Word that the violent take it by force. And it's typically, doesn't have to be, but listen, typically it's a drawn out process. It happens over time. Now here's the secret: that you or I prolong or speed up this process by the degree that we surrender and submit to our healer, amen, and to the truth. You want to speed the process up in your recovery? And I'm not talking about from addictions or from this or that. You want to speed up the process in your recovery from entering into a poverty mindset, spiritually speaking, to an abundant, prosperous life, spiritually speaking? You want to hurry up that process? Surrender more. Surrender quicker. Surrender everything. Surrender all the time, as much as you can, as often as you can. That gets you there. The more you want to hold on to stuff, the more you want to hold on to the lies, the longer you're going to prolong yourself. And your 20s will become 30s, and your 30s will become 40s, and your 40s will become 50s, and your 50s will become 60s. And by then you say, what's use in trying? And the fact is that as long as there's breath in you, there's a chance for a new day. That's why tonight I want to talk about four pitfalls of fleshly Christianity. I don't know why I got a text from Christy the other day saying, what's the title for your message? I said, I never do titles to my messages. But if you must, I threw an idea out there and then she did what she wanted anyways. And it was Overcoming the Pitfalls of Fleshly Christianity, or something I think might have been the title for tonight. The reality is that I want to just talk to you about the dangers of fleshly Christianity and how by the Spirit of the Lord we can overcome them. Amen? There is such a thing called fleshly Christianity. I lived it. I tried that, and many of you have too. Let's go to Romans 8, if you have your Bibles with you tonight. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Romans 8. And again, you got to understand, this is not an exhaustive list, okay, of the pitfalls. There are many, many, many more. There's actually, in preparation for this message, I was in that little tiny room back there, and my pen couldn't write fast enough. It's like God was downloading at a speed that I just couldn't handle, and I couldn't fit everything in tonight. And so I understand there's a lot more pitfalls than the four I'm about to mention, but these are just four that are for the immature all the way to the mature in Christ. And we all need a good refreshing in these, amen? No matter how free you feel in the Spirit, no matter how often you're in this house or in another house, we all need a constant reminder from the Word of the truth of what's up, okay? So here we go. Romans 8, 5 through 8 reads, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Here's the main kicker right here, verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's a powerful statement, and one that I don't make lightly or throw out there, you know, like I said, lightly. There's a danger in fleshly Christianity, and that's that your flesh desires comfort. Your flesh desires ease. Your flesh desires, you know, happiness at all times. Your flesh demands a lot of things from you. And I'm not talking about your initial salvation, okay? That's, Lord willing, is a done deal, sealed in heaven in the book of life and the book of the Lamb, amen? But what I'm talking about is that if we're not careful, you know, we're bound by our flesh. And if you don't think we're bound by our flesh, read one of the greatest men of God who ever walked the face of the planet, named the Apostle Paul, and read his depiction of his flesh in Romans chapter 7. If you ever want some morbid kind of comfort for your own life and your own struggles, read his, because it works for me sometimes. I go, man, this guy was awesome, and look at all. He did stuff he didn't want to do. Oh, man, there's hope for me. Amen? But the reality is that a lot of times we get saved and we get into this place, and then next thing you know, we're struggling, and we go to the road of least resistance and the path of comfort and ease, and we don't want to be challenged, we don't want to be confronted with things, we don't want to step out in uncomfortable realms, because the flesh doesn't want that. And if we're careful, if we're not careful, we'll bring our faith right into that with us, and we'll take the path called most traveled, the wide path. This might sound strong to you guys or a little harsh, but you need to hear what it says. And religion or fleshly Christianity doesn't really want to know Jesus. It really doesn't want to know Jesus. And here's what I understand, that as I'm maturing with the Lord, as I'm, you know, moving forward in the Lord, I'm realizing that there's so many people that are even flocking and filling up our seminaries and some of our, what you would consider your highest positions in the church, of training. They don't even know Jesus. They're infatuated with wisdom about God, but they don't really want to know God. And there's a massive difference. There's a lot of people who are infatuated with wisdom for wisdom's sake, and they want to know. They want to be the one to have the quick, you know, retort or rebuttal, or they can quote scripture, they can do all these things, but they don't really want to know God. They don't want to know Jesus. They don't want to know his heart. They don't want to know what he feels like in certain situations. You know God feels? You know Jesus feels over your life? Based on your decisions, he feels certain things. He feels sadness at times. He feels gladness at times. You know? And there's this glorious opportunity that we have to encounter Jesus. But the truth is that religion, it's easy to hide behind. It's really easy to hide behind the so-called Christianity. We're either in the in club or we're not. And a lot of times, we can learn the verbiage, we can learn the wording, we can act a certain way, we know when to raise our hands, we know when to sit down, we know when to... I remember there was a time in my Teen Challenge program where I was sitting there in the pew of a church, and all of a sudden, almost on command, I saw a couple guys out of the corner of my eye raise their hands, and I just went up and raised my hand. Oh, there it was, you know? And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, I'm having this full dialogue in my head. Andy, what are you doing? Worshiping God, Andy, look. You know your heart's not even in it. You don't even know what song they're singing. But look, don't I look good? I can be vulnerable with you and tell you that, because that ain't me anymore, thank God. As best, you know, so help me God. But there was a day where, you know, and I guarantee you that anyone in close proximity to me would have been looking at me in that moment. And if they would have been judging my life, they would have said, wow, Andy's pretty spiritual, ain't he? Man, he lifts his hands up during worship. Wow, look at him, man. He's really getting touched by God. The fact is they couldn't hear the dialogue in my head. Come on, I'm not the only one. Go to John 5, 5th chapter of John, verse 39. Here's what Jesus said. Listen to this. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are, these are which testify of me, he's saying. So this is Jesus speaking. He says, you search the scriptures thinking that if you know them, you'll have eternal life. And these are which they testify of me. But what does verse 40 say? It says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. And I was thinking about this and I'm like, man, religion can memorize scripture and totally miss Jesus in the word. You can know, you can open up a Bible and sit down and read it day after day after day. And yet if you don't let that word bounce off of you and reflect the condition of your heart, and you're unwilling to get before him and get to know him, and you don't line up with that, you're going to miss it. And here you are thinking that because you've got a Bible in front of you, you're good. But the reality is that God is saying, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? Crazy, huh? When we are more concerned with what others are doing or saying than what God is doing or saying, let me warn us that that's a crazy place to be. That's not a good place to be. What will sister think of me? What will brother think of me? What will Bob think of me? You know, what will Pastor so-and-so think of me? Man, but if I step out and if I do this, you know, I'm going to go against what everyone else is doing, you know? Man, I was just thinking about this earlier, how it must grieve the heart of God to know that he created each one of us individually. There's not a single clone in here. There could even be twins, but even them are going to be extremely different. And so God is saying that how it must grieve his heart to know that he made all of us unique and different and special in our own way. And he gave us all characteristics and things about us that are unique only to us. And he wants to use those for his glory. And the first thing we do is we look at everyone else around us and we dress like them and we talk like them and we look like them and we sound like them and we do everything like them. We copy them because we're afraid and we don't know who we are. And God is saying, man, I've made you unique. I've made you different for a purpose. I'll be honest. There's a few people that you have encountered your uniqueness. And bless you. There's no one like you. You're unashamed. You're different and you love it. Amen. Yeah. I'm not saying any names, Otis. I love you, man. I just did that. I love my brother. Hey, for real. God made you unique and he made you different. And you know, religion does a great job of telling you to just dumb it down. Don't step out. You know, it says in Romans 8:14, if you were to look back, you don't have to. But if you were to look back, it said God has given us a spirit, right? That's not a slave to fear any longer. He's delivered us from that. And the main thing that keeps you from stepping out and encountering your identity, as weird as that might sound to you in some different ways, the thing that keeps us from doing that is fear. And if we don't rustle any feathers, if we don't call, you know, raise any eyebrows, we're good. And that's not the truth. Religion is man-made's attempt of pleasing God. That's all it is. And so if it originated in the heart of God, then it'll bring glory to God. But if it originated in the heart of man, it'll only bring glory to man. And a lot of times we want to, you know, we say we want to honor God, but yet we're doing things that originated in the heart of man that will only bring glory to man. And if it was going to bring glory to anybody at all, it'd be to ourselves, not even to him. And so I just want to warn us about that. That's danger number one, I'm sorry. Number two is religion or fleshly Christianity doesn't ask difficult questions. Doesn't ask difficult questions. Here's the deal. If I'm with like a science teacher or a math teacher especially, I'll open you up into my life here real quick. I hated those subjects. I guess I wish I had another chance at high school to redeem myself. But man, I skipped school every time I could. I skipped those classes every time I could. I wasn't saved really then, so stop judging me too hard. But I hated it. And therefore, I realized this though. If you sat a math professor up here and a science professor up here and me up here, the last thing I'd be doing is asking them questions about the topic. Why? Because it's going to expose how much I really don't know about it. And they're just going to talk, and I'm just going to go, okay, that's right, yep, uh-huh, mm-hmm, oh, yeah, man, wow, that really does equal 3 point something, you know, or whatever it might be. I'm not going to get in there and ask difficult questions. Why? Because it's a subject that I know nothing of. And the question begs is, do I even care to know? And so I was thinking about this in the realm of a relationship. And a relationship, that's what God is offering to us. It's a relationship. It's not just this opportunity to know this set of rules and bylaws that we must adhere to. This is relationship that we have. And I know with my wife, who's here tonight, Mary, we, you know, the only way we've gotten to know each other as little as we probably do over the last almost four years is the fact that we've asked each other questions and gotten to know each other, and we listen to each other. And I asked her some tough questions, and she's offered some tough answers, and vice versa, from time to time. But the reality is, all you got to do is look at the divorce rate in the United States of America to tell you how little people really want to get to know somebody intimately. That'll tell you right there. 50% church, non-church, find the back door because they found it too hard to get to know somebody and to be vulnerable completely with somebody. And I don't want to belabor on that, on divorce, but that's a key indicator of humanity's lack of ability to really get in there and ask those difficult questions. We don't want to know sometimes. But the reality is that this is where you got to listen in, guys. Why do you believe what you believe? And I know this is a difficult word. This is a difficult question. Why do you believe what you believe? Why? If I could talk to you each after the service individually, one by one, and I said, and I just sat you down, and we just had this time where you sensed that it was okay to be vulnerable with me. For whatever reason, you trusted me fully. Okay, I wouldn't expect that, but I'm just saying. And we sat down, and I said, you know, why do you believe the way you do? What do you believe, first and foremost, and why do you believe it? You would tell me probably the things you've heard. I would hope that a lot of you would sit down and tell me some awesome things that you have encountered to become a reality in your own life, because you've contended with the Lord for those answers, and you asked and you've heard and you've gotten to know Him. And so you'd be speaking to me out of experience and out of what you know to be true. But I would also be willing to bet that there'd be quite a few of us in here that are still riding on our mommy's faith, or we're still riding on our pastor's faith. We're still riding on the things that we've always been told. And that's just kind of what we repeat. We're like puppets, and we just kind of, or parakeets, and we, or parrots, whatever, and we just kind of repeat some stuff. And God is, you know, He's patient with us, and He's okay with us asking Him some hard questions, because ultimately there's something more powerful, is that He wants you to encounter the truth for yourself. He wants you to know why you know what you know. And guys, if this isn't you tonight, for whatever reason, I want to stop us right here. And I don't want any condemnation to slip into this room in Jesus' name. You hear what I'm saying? If you know, if you're sitting here going, oh my goodness, He's reading my mail. You know? This isn't a night to be condemned and say, hey, wow. You know, man, Andy, you know, wow. Hey, listen, the reason that I'm preaching this message is because just 4 days ago, I was standing right there. And I was telling Bob what was going on in my heart and how God's been provoking me to ask some difficult questions. And I want to know the answers to them. Do I believe everything the Word says? Do I believe it? Because if I don't believe it, I better start learning how to. I better be on a path to learn to know that I know that I know what I know. And here's the danger, is that a lot of us, we sit in these church services, and we sit around worship, and Michael, bless your heart, I love the worship, and we're singing these songs and grace and God's love and His faithfulness and His mercy and all this stuff. But the danger is that we can sit around poetic verbiage and wording. We can sit around poetic words, but they're not a reality to us. You know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It is amazing grace. But is it your amazing grace? It is a sweet sound to me. Is it a sweet sound to you that saved a wretch like me? I know where I was 6.5 years ago when He saved me. He lifted me up out of a pit of destruction and addiction and despair, homelessness. I know. I was there. I know that He saved a wretch like me.
But has he saved a wretch like you? And the thing is, we can sing the songs and we can be around the verbiage and we can fool ourselves into thinking that it's our reality when our heart isn't even engaged with it. And that's a pitfall. That's a danger that we all must take heed to. You're not just going to sing your way into the truth. You can sing it as often as you like. It doesn't mean it's just going to one day all of a sudden become a reality to you. You have to have those answers, those questions answered. And don't be defeated. Again, don't be discouraged. You sure don't walk out of here and say, you know, I guess I'm a hypocrite. I'm just going to quit. No. This is the night. This is your night. Matthew 7. Let's go there. Arlette, what do you got? Matthew 7. The last two move quicker. Matthew 7, 7 through 11 says this: ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I will tell you how real and sincere your walk is with the Lord by the measure of how many questions you ask him on any given period of your life. When you're going through a struggle, do you go to the Word to find out what it is? Or do you say, you know, this is a time to buck up and to get going here, you know? When you're in a pickle, do you say, God? Do you ask Jesus how, what, where? Or do you say, well, you know, here we go. You ask questions. That's how you get to know somebody. Number three, religion. Fleshly Christianity is not preoccupied with encountering his presence in the secret place. Listen to this, guys. Religion or fleshly Christianity is not preoccupied with encountering his presence in the secret place. Do you know that we have an invitation to us on every single day, and his mercy is made new every single morning, to have a one-on-one date with Jesus? Do you know this? Do you understand this? Do you understand what that means? You get a one-on-one with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And all you have to do is say no to all the other stuff and to sit in his presence. That's all you got to do. But the devil tells you it ain't worth it. You're too busy. You ain't got time. Your jobs, your schedules, your this, your that's baloney. You have time. You have 24 hours in the day just like everybody else. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just encouraging, I hope. But if you're not preoccupied with meeting him in the secret place, you've really got to check your heart. Who are you living for? Who is your God? What is your God? We are most free in his presence, you guys. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, right? Matthew 10:27 says this: whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. That to me is an intimate God who literally wants to go with us to that place where it's only just him and us. And he wants to whisper wonderful truths in his reality, in his life over you. But you got to invite him there with you. He's already there, but you have to encounter him and consciously make a decision to invite him into that moment. And I tell you, what it says is that if he doesn't whisper something in the ear, you got nothing to preach. That's what he's saying. That's the crux of it. If you don't discipline yourself to sit in the quiet place and to listen to what he says, it says, what you hear in your ear, preach on the housetops. What are we all preaching if we're not hearing in the ear? We're preaching something, but what is it? Amen? Wow. He wants us to sit in the quiet place. And number four says religion or fleshly Christianity is not concerned with doing the will of God. I preached on Friday night out of John chapter 4.
And it's a glorious passage. It's an awesome truth. Jesus is at the well, and many of you know the story, and I'm not going to get into it tonight. But there's a verse in John 4:32. And the disciples went into the town to get some food because it was getting late. And they came back and they found Jesus talking with this woman, which was a crazy deal in itself. But in verse 31, they said, you know, Rabbi, eat. His disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? They're thinking, this guy already got some food somewhere. He stopped by Taco Bell real quick, got himself a bite to eat. And Jesus said to them this. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And I got to thinking as I was preaching this on Friday, how food in the natural sustains us. It energizes us. It strengthens us, and it fills us, and it satisfies us. That's what food does in the natural. Trust me, I could follow you to your homes after this. I'm sure you're going to get some late night snacks. You know, maybe tomorrow you're going to wake up, have a good breakfast, lunch, whatever. And Jesus is saying that to him, sitting himself before the Father and listening to the Father and being able to watch the Father and understand what the will of the Father is for any given moment, any situation of the day, that to him is what sustained him. It's what energized him. It's what strengthened him. It's what filled him up. It's what sustained him. It's what satisfied him. Doing the will of the Father. Religion isn't preoccupied with doing the will of the Father. Fleshly Christianity doesn't really care about doing the will of the Father. Cares more about doing the will of man or what our fear or what the lies that we engage in tell us. And if you don't eat in the natural, you'll dry up and die. And if we don't eat in the spiritual, we dry up and wither and die. Amen. I was exhorting our guys the other night that, you know, when you wake up in the morning, ask them, like before breakfast, what's your will? And then eat at lunch, what's your will? Lord, for this moment, I'm about to go into a lunch meeting. I'm about to meet this person, so-and-so. I'm about to go shopping. I'm about to go do this. Whatever you're going to do, what's your will for this moment? You're about to stay home and spring clean? Anyone? Sounds good. What's your will for that moment? He might call you to intercede for somebody. Amen. Eat. Dinner time. Come the evening time. What's your will? What's your will? And understand that if that's not what sustains you and energizes you and fuels you and fills you and satisfies you is doing his will. If that's not what it is, if it's anything else, we need to get some things right. Amen. So recapping, number one, doesn't want to know God. Two, doesn't want to ask difficult questions. Number three, not worried about encountering his presence. And number four, not concerned with doing his will. Those are the pitfalls. So here's what I thought. I put all the answers to this on the opposite column, and I realized that there's a little progression. First and foremost, our main mission is to know God. We know God, then we ask questions. We ask questions to know God. We know God, therefore we ask questions. Because you're not going to ask a question to someone you don't believe in. At least I don't. And then, not worried about encountering his presence. Well, so you know God and you're asking these questions. All of a sudden, the relationship is real. Then you sit before him in his presence and you get filled up. And based on that getting filled up, number four, you go and you do his will. Amen. Very simple, but yet it touches an area of all our hearts in one way or the other. And I just want to pray over us tonight. I'd like us to stand, if you will. I don't know if there's any worship here that wants to play. If not, whatever. Michael, thank you, brother. Pastoral team from The Voice, if you're around and you want to. Here's the four things that God was leading me in today that I want to challenge us again. Is anyone here hiding behind religion? And I don't say that to your shame, because I have done it many, many times. And I continue to do it. Sometimes without knowing it, sometimes I do, but I don't want that to be my reality, but at times it is. And God is saying to you tonight, just come out, step out. Step out into this real relationship that I have for you. It's not your mommy's faith anymore. It's not your pastor's faith. It's not your grandma's faith. This has the opportunity tonight to become your faith. You get an opportunity to know me. Maybe you're the kind that you have made that decision and you do know God, yet if you're honest with yourself, you're afraid to ask those difficult questions because you're afraid of the answers. I was afraid. I knew there was a call of God on my life since the age I was about 5, 6 years old. I knew there was a call of God on my life and I ran from it for almost 25 years because I was afraid of what it was going to look like. And the devil lied to me all the time and told me that I wasn't going to like it, that it was, I wasn't going to be good enough, I wasn't going to be able to fulfill it. And so I ran from it. But because of that, I didn't ask him difficult questions. And maybe tonight he's saying, step forward, come forward, my son, my daughter, and ask me some questions tonight. Get to know me better. Maybe you're in the third group. You do know him, and you know from time to time you're driving down the road and you get provoked with a question, but getting in his presence in the secret place isn't really your number one ambition in life. It's sort of a continual guilt in your heart that you don't do enough of. And I don't want you to encounter and to engage with that condemnation, because that's not what Jesus is asking us to do tonight. But what he is saying is, would you make a vow with me? Would you take a step out? Would you commit to making that an ambition that drives you to encounter my presence in the secret place so that I can whisper the truths into your ear that you may then go proclaim, you may get a message. And maybe your reality is that you just struggle with hearing his will or discerning his will. But perhaps that's because you're not getting in his presence and asking him the tough questions. But maybe your food, maybe something that sustains you is not simply his presence and doing his will. Maybe you're filling up yourself with an addiction or things, idols in your life. And God says, step out tonight and leave some of that up here. And so if you'd close your eyes, I just want to invite you up here tonight. I want you to pray and leave some things up here with the Lord. I know it's getting later and I knew this would happen, but if any bit of the message, if the Spirit of the Lord through his word has been talking to you tonight, don't leave here without getting right with him. Don't leave here without making some adjustments or some changes. It's not about a message that tickles our ears that needs to provoke us to an altar. It's the deep truth. And if we're not lined up completely with it, we need to get some things right. That's all there is. And so I want to pray, Father God, I just ask right now, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would move on behalf of my brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, I pray that, God, tonight would be a night where we could make some things right with you. Father, I pray that tonight would be a night where we would allow you into these places, God. Father, we want to know that we know you. And our main ambition in life must be to seek you, to know your voice, to know your will, and to act upon your will in obedience and out of our love for you, Father. And so I just pray over my brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray, God, that they would just step out in faith, Lord, not be bound by any fleshly Christianity in any way, God, that peer pressure isn't just something that's relegated to the middle schools and high school hallways. It's something that exists in the church. And so, Father, I just pray, God, that you would free us from that, Lord. I pray today be a night of freedom, God, over souls in this room. Father, I pray that we'd exchange some things, Lord. We'd leave some idols at an altar, God, in exchange. Take hold of the truth that you have for us, Father. So, Jesus, we thank you for showing tonight. We thank you, God, for who you are, Lord. I thank you, Father, for speaking. We just want to tell you, we just want to declare our love for you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father, for who you are. God, help us to walk in faith.
which pleases you. In Jesus' name. Guys, if you want to come up, the altars are open. There's people here. I'd love to pray with you if you desire. Every moment I'm away, I'm away.
Cover me. Cover me with your Spirit, Holy One. Cover me. Cover me. Cover me with your Spirit, Holy One. Cover me. Cover me. Cover me with your Spirit, Holy One. Cover me. Cover me. Cover me with your Spirit, Holy One.